everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mintel, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. And every weekend, we're here, we're doing life together, and we're glad you've joined us.
Dr. Linda, we have a show today that is going to relate to pretty much everyone listening, and it will really help as we deal with the negative behavior in people that make our relationships difficult. The topic of this show today is passive-aggressive behavior.
And boy, Chris, I have to admit, this is a behavior I really dislike. Mm. If someone has a problem, here's my philosophy. Deal with it or deal with me directly. Do not go behind my back.
There's something I want to tell you.
Let's
just take care of this now.
Okay, what is it? Yeah, but I actually would prefer that approach.
Right.
I want somebody to come to me and deal with it. And I don't like this undercover manipulation that characterizes passive-aggressive behavior. So someone who smiles to my face and then saying or doing something negative to me behind my back, this really gets me. Can you tell?
Yeah, I can definitely tell.
So I wanted to do a show on this.
Well, when people are passive-aggressive, it makes you feel like you are the problem, but then you can't really prove it. Things just don't add up.
Yeah, so it's very confusing when people do this. The New York University Medical Center defines it passive-aggressive person like this. It says someone who may appear to comply or act appropriately, but actually behaves negatively and passively resists. What they're saying can be excuses for not maybe doing something with someone. It's kind of a mild way of looking at it, or something very serious like sabotaging your well-being or somehow sabotaging your success. Usually they're saying that the person acts like they're cooperating with you, but they're really manipulating the situation. So it's when a person engages in covert aggression. It's a type of sugarcoating hostility.
Would this cover the silent treatment, the pouting, the whining, accidentally forgetting something that you were supposed to do, but because you're angry, you just didn't do it?
That's all of those behaviors. Mm-hmm. You're angry, you're upset, but you're dealing with it in passive ways. So I think the silent treatment is one that we can all relate to.
Right.
You know the person's angry, but they're not dealing with it directly. And then you're calculating a way to sort of get back at the other person. I think that's where the hostility comes in.
Since this obviously isn't a positive way to communicate, what leads people to do this?
The real root of this, when you get down to it with people in therapy, is that they have a fear and an avoidance of conflict. They're afraid that if they deal with something directly, there's going to be these terrible results. And yet, isn't it interesting that when you don't deal with it directly, it doesn't usually go very well? But the person has this feeling of being really powerless and helpless. And it's something that then appears in these ways that we're talking about, the silent treatment. Maybe they withhold intimacy from somebody. They don't tell people up front that they like what they do. They're critical behind their back. The sabotaging efforts. Sometimes people are passive aggressive by running late all the time. Sometimes it's a calculated move of, oh, I'm just going to make them wait for me.
Right.
Or not doing something that's asked of you. And then just kind of secretly going, ha, 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 see what you think.
Yeah. Could any of this be learned behavior based on your family background?
You could say sometimes in some people's cases it is because of the way they grew up. There was actually a therapist who wrote a book about this called 8 Keys to Eliminating Passive-Aggressive Behavior. And she says that if you grow up in a family where one parent is really dominant and the other is very subservient, that you might be more likely to engage in this type of behavior. According to her, this is a quote from her book, she says, they learn that powerful and volatile people cannot be approached directly, but it's okay to lie to them or keep secrets to get what you want. So, you know, we've all heard somebody maybe say, okay, but don't tell your father. Mm-hmm. So that's where that behavior begins to develop.
There's no way that's healthy.
No. And so, you know, you have to learn how to agree and disagree with people. So we're talking about, really, Chris, the way that people manipulate people when they're angry. And they're uncomfortable because they rarely discuss their anger directly. So they do it in these passive ways. It becomes a clear pattern of manipulation. And you have to learn to spot this behavior because it's not going to be a behavior that's going to be helpful, like you said, in relationships.
Okay, then what do we look for? What are the tactics used to help us spot someone who is trying to manipulate in passive-aggressive ways?
So I like that term, the tactics, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at the learned tactics so that you can spot that person if you see it. Now, here's the thing. You have to stay calm when you notice this going on, and you have to not then join in and do something indirect with them. So the temptation really is to go, okay, I can play that game too. But you don't want to do it because it doesn't work very well. And if you get real reactive to somebody, they kind of feel like they're winning and they know that their tactic has paid off.
The thing is, it's so frustrating if the person pretends to be innocent or ignorant or confused in the situation.
Yeah, and that playing dumb, that's one of the tactics, even if they know what happened. Like, oh, I really? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't know, but you know they did. So that's one of the tactics. It's this convenient forgetting. Oh, you wanted me to do that task? Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I should have done that, but right. I forgot.
So what's the point? Why do people do this?
Because they don't want to deal with you directly. Maybe they didn't really want to do what you asked them to do, but they can't say that to you directly, so they do it in this passive way.
And then you start to wonder if someone is passive aggressive when they don't or when they won't give you a straight answer. They change the subject when you're trying to get at the problem.
Yeah, that's a diversion tactic or an evasion tactic. You start to deal with somebody directly, and then they move the conversation off of them, and they direct it to something else. And what the reason is, you might be getting close to a truth or something that's making them feel uncomfortable. And if they're really good at this, you start dealing with a problem directly, and all of a sudden you go, wait a minute, we're not even talking about that.
Right.
What just happened? This happened the other day. I was trying to deal with somebody on an issue. They were using this tactic, and about 4 minutes into the conversation, I went, wait a minute, we are way over here, and that is not what we're trying to talk about. So that was a tactic, and this person does engage in passive-aggressive behavior quite often.
And the same person may not tell you the entire story, or they'll distort some facts. Are they lying to you at this point?
The truth is twisted, so that's a tactic again. You have trouble telling the truth because you don't want to deal with how uncomfortable that might be. One of the ones that I see in the workplace a lot is people taking credit for things they really didn't do.
Right.
So they're kind of twisting the truth. They pretend that they were somehow involved. So they say one thing to you and then another thing to somebody else. They're being really vague about answering questions, or they change the story somehow to make it to their advantage. The bottom line is they're lying to manipulate.
Would they call it lying?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just a way that they manipulate the truth in their life. And they're often, I think, unaware of that they're doing this.
And they're so charming about it, too. That's the thing. When they tell you things, you can't believe that they would be manipulative, but they are.
Yeah, and when they're kind of caught with this, you know, I'm not so sure that that's the truth, and you're getting close to the truth, that's when the flattery really comes out.
Right.
And people that are really good at this will distract you away by being charming, like you're talking about. If they get cornered in the truth, they get really angry.
And they become the victim.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And when this has happened to me, I'm so taken off guard by it, I walk away thinking, wait, what just happened? I was trying to confront them about something, but now it's my fault.
Yeah, and you later realize that they just made excuses for their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So the tactic is to blame others, play the victim, and they might try to minimize the blow, but they're really upset underneath. They're just not saying so directly.
And when someone gets upset, I'll notice that they can use guilt to get at me, trying to make me feel bad by implying I don't care or I'm too selfish. And then I start thinking, wait, maybe it is my fault. Maybe I should not bring this up, but that's what they want.
Yeah, so that's the tactic, the guilt and the shaming part of this. The person doesn't feel bad, but they can count on your conscientiousness to feel bad. So this guilting works, and it's a form of manipulation. It's reminding me of a show we did a long time ago on gaslighting. Do you remember that show?
Yes.
It has elements of that, doesn't it? Because they're not dealing with you directly, and you sense that something's wrong, and the way that they can use guilt, and especially shaming, that's really, I think, worse, because that leads to you feeling really bad about yourself, and then the more likely you are to defer to whatever they want you to do.
That's true. And today on the Dr. Linda Mental Show, we're dealing with passive-aggressive behavior. Now that we know the tactics, the question is, how do we deal with this passive-aggressive behavior? And stay with us as we answer this important question after the break on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Mother and daughter relationships are powerful, and they impact all our other relationships. Think about it. The way you react with your mom typically is the way you might react with other people. Yet this important bond can be filled with tension when both women try to find their own voice and develop a sense of self. So working through the mother-daughter relationship can be a challenge, but it is so worth the effort. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and I would love to help you navigate this important relationship and strengthen it to the best it can be. That's why I wrote I Love My Mother, But, a book to strengthen the mother-daughter relationship. We all love our mothers, but sometimes we need a little help working through our differences. I Love My Mother, But, available on my website, drlindamental.com, or online where books are sold.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and today we're talking about passive-aggressive behavior, which isn't an easy task. And by the way, if you want more help on any number of the topics related to relationships or good mental health, go to Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com. And there you will find her blogs and ways to connect with Dr. Linda on social media. Dr. Linda has also written many books on relationships, and one that will help you navigate this topic is We Need to Talk. It's a book about dealing with conflict with a difficult person.
There's actually a chapter in the book about that, Chris, and while it doesn't specifically say passive-aggressive behavior, it's dealing with anybody who is difficult when it comes to conflict. So this would really fit this category.
Well, getting back to the topic today on passive-aggressive behavior, Dr. Linda, we identified the tactics of someone using this behavior, feigning ignorance, using diversion tactics, out-and-out lying, using charm, guilt, and shame, and the whole thing. But what if we just avoid the person altogether?
You could just use avoidance, right? It's a good idea to have minimal contact maybe with people who are passive-aggressive. But what if they're in your family? Or what if you work with them?
No, wait, that complicates things.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Or even if they're in church. Mm. Do you just ignore them? You know, you can't always do this. You can't always ignore people. So I would say walk away if you can and have minimal contact with people who you see this pattern in their behavior. But it's probably not realistic in life that you're going to be able to avoid everybody and keep your distance all the time. So being kind, here's the Christian part of our faith, right? Despite the fact that the behavior is annoying and it's really not truthful and it's not a good behavior, you still have to be kind. But it's a little bit like being a puppy with a lion. If you're not careful and you don't know really how to have some response to this, they're going to eat you up alive. So, yes, we advocate kindness, but you also have to learn to respond in ways in which you can't allow people to continue to manipulate you or hurt you.
And I think one of the hardest things to deal with is wanting that revenge, wanting them outed and, you know, pay for what they've done. We want people to admit they were hurtful and to apologize. And we've talked about trying to change people before on this program, and it a lot of times doesn't work.
Good luck with that.
Right.
I mean, it does maybe help if you had a good friend and they started doing this to say, you know, point out the behavior, point out the tactics and say, this is making it difficult for me to be in a relationship with you. But unfortunately, you just really have to guard your heart with people who behave like this. That's the part that you control, not allowing the anger to get a hold of you and looking to make them pay. I know that's a natural response, right? Mm. I am so much into that justice thing.
Right.
My husband's shaking his head as I speak that because I'm like, that's not right. Stop doing that. You got to, you know, change. But you can't really do it. But what you can do is you can control your part of that and not allowing that anger to get a hold of you. That is really a godly response. We're trying to be godly when it comes to dealing with difficult people. That's not always easy.
So then what is a good first step?
Once you recognize the tactics that we talked about in the first segment, you have to prepare and think ahead about how you're going to deal with this person. And you start with setting boundaries. What behavior will you no longer tolerate with that person? If it happens, are you prepared to confront it? Should you confront it? And I can tell you from experience that if this is low-hanging fruit, I'm just going to let it go
right, and
not really deal with it. You better be able, though, to be able to confront calmly if you're going to do it. And you better have facts with this person because they're very good at manipulating. So know ahead of time what you want from the person and be prepared that they're going to get aggressive back with you. Because remember, now you're getting at the truth. You're being more direct. They don't like that direct approach because they're going to feel like they're losing the battle somehow. So just stay on the facts. And I would say, this sounds maybe a little bit over the edge, but I would say if it's in a work situation, I would have someone with me so that I can provide a reality check and maybe the person can give you emotional support and maybe even document. So what you really want to avoid in all of that, Chris, is just going tit for tat with the person. You don't want to engage in this behavior because it's going to go bad. And arguing doesn't usually work and using aggressive language really escalates things.
I was wondering about using humor to help offset some of this. And one way I thought about doing this once was to bring a tape recorder to the conversation. Thought it would have been funny, but also
they might think that would be really bad.
Well, it would be the same.
That'd be funny.
It would be the same as bringing the third party in to verify facts.
Yeah, I think that would make people feel on edge, don't you?
Yeah,
make them more defensive.
But say the point is, we do radio, so we have this at our disposal.
Yeah,
we have tape recorders and microphones and that type of thing.
All right, let me get back to your idea of humor, because that one I do think has some validity. Anytime, and I talk about this in my book, We Need to Talk. Humor diffuses anything. And it breaks the tension. Sometimes that's enough to relax the person and let them start talking more honestly to you.
But when they do, continue to be on the lookout for the tactics that we covered in the first part of the show.
Yeah, you got to ask yourself, is he lying to me right now, covering up, trying to be charming, to wiggle his way out of this accountability? You know, tell yourself the person is fighting back right now, trying not to get caught. The sooner, though, you deal with the problem, the actual issue. So again, we're going to go back to the facts. It keeps things from escalating if you can stay calm and keep going back to the facts. So you would do something like this. Okay, I'm listening. I'm listening to what you say. But what about this? And then you would be something very factual. And again, if you're in a work situation, I would say document it and have a witness.
Mm. When you do present them with these facts and they start to feel backed into a corner and then they give excuses, then what?
Yeah, so excuses are tough because those can start coming really fast and furious. And I was just dealing with somebody like this the other day, and I just let them talk. Mm-hmm. I just stayed really calm. I tried to be really polite, but I just didn't allow the excuses to distract us off the real issue. And
right.
I just kept bringing it back and saying, I hear all that, but what about this? And then I told the person directly what the issue was, what the problem was. Boy, it was hard when it was very factual. The person
right.
couldn't distort it. I think if you can get the person to answer yes or no, that's probably your best tactic.
What if they don't?
I know. So, and a lot of times they don't. So you're making this tough for me, right? That just tells you they're not going to give you a direct response. They're just not going to go there. So if that happens, just don't be threatened and don't get hostile back and try to just stay on point and see where it goes. You might not always get this resolved because think about it. If the difficulty is they don't want to be direct with you, it's too hard. Then they're going to do everything they can to get out of that.
Right. Well, people can be passive aggressive because they want something. And if they can't get it, they make you feel bad.
Mm.
So how do we deal with that one?
Yeah, that's a great point because people get even more defensive when they feel like they're losing an argument or they're not getting what they want. So they need a win from this. They need to feel like they got something out of this in order to move forward with you and to get things moving in the right direction. So if there's any way you can develop a win-win scenario, you've accomplished a whole lot. You know, maybe you can think of a way for them to save face, still get their needs met. I mean, that means get some kind of win out of the problem. See if there's any constructive solutions the two of you can come to. You're going to hear a lot of complaints and criticisms. When you hear that, just don't agree or disagree. Just listen. Simply say that you'll keep what they said in mind and then get on with what needs to happen going forward.
So it sounds like we will get resistance when confronting this behavior. So how do you handle the attitude that comes back?
Yeah, you're going to get a lot of that. You're going to get a lot of that. So if you have a consequence for this, you're going to have to figure out what could be the consequence going forward if this behavior continues. What else is my next step? So it's like a lot of things. You try to confront the person directly using facts, staying calm, being kind, being polite. And then if you make no movement, you might have to bring in another person.
Well, right now, Dr. Linda, I will be very direct with you. And say,
okay.
We need to go to a break.
Nothing covert about that.
That's right. But stay with us as we continue our conversation on how to deal with passive-aggressive behavior on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mental, and I wrote the book We Need to Talk in order to help all of us deal better with conflict. We Need to Talk, available at bookstores and online where books are sold. Everyone worries, don't they? Well, just listen to the nightly news or read the economic forecast or even talk to your family. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental. Opportunities to worry present themselves many times during our day. So why would God tell us not to worry when it almost seems like it's impossible? First, He knows the physical damage worry does to our bodies. Second, He wants to calm us down by taking the burden of control away from us. Hey, we don't have control, no matter how much we think we do, He does. And third, He wants us to trust Him. The root of worry is doubting God. Doubt is not trusting that God is who He says He is, or He will do what He says He will do. So every day, take your worries to God. Rehearse His goodness, accept His grace, and walk in the confidence that He is in control and He's working all things for your good. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mental, and I wrote the book, We Need to Talk, in order to help all of us deal better with conflict.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and Dr. Linda has written numerous books that you can find on her website or online. Go to drlindamental.com, and you can follow her on Twitter at Dr. Linda Mental, and on Instagram and on Facebook. Or check out her podcasts on iTunes. And keep listening to our program every weekend here on faithradio.com.
So we're talking about passive-aggressive behavior today, and we know it's just not pleasant to deal with this kind of behavior, and we can't get people to cooperate with us, but we do have to have a faith attitude towards this and a faith perspective towards this, right? So it's really good for us to remember, even when people are difficult, we have to respond in a biblical way.
And we can find a lot of that in Matthew 18, where Jesus talks about His approach.
I think it's so funny you were looking at a Bible from 1611 during the little break we took,
right.
And you were reading me these scriptures that were the giveth and taketh and the old, you know, King James language. And so we posted a little video on that you might want to look at on Instagram. But we're going to talk about it from a contemporary perspective because we can actually understand that one. So it is a model for conflict, and it is a model that has been given to the church. And the whole idea is you deal with conflict directly with that person. It goes against passive-aggressive behavior, right? Because it says in the scripture, if you have a problem with someone, go to that person. If you still can't get it resolved, bring in a third person. And in the church setting, if you really can't get it resolved with the third party, take it to the elders and to the church authorities and then see what can happen.
Do you think that a person is always aware of the pattern of behavior, their covert aggression?
Yeah, you asked me that, I think, a little bit earlier. We did just kind of touch on that. But I think this is why you have to respond in such a specific way, because I don't think most people are aware of the many times that they're doing it. They might start off with some awareness that they're being covert, that they're not dealing with things directly, but boy, it becomes a learned pattern. And then when somebody is trying to deal with you on it, it's really hard to correct. But there is a scripture that implores us, Chris, to look in our hearts, to search our hearts. We should always measure our behavior against God's word. So if you're the passive-aggressive person, you're having that behavior, you've developed this habit, be mindful of your own behavior and ask God to help you identify this and make changes.
Well, how do you talk to someone about it if they don't see it? Couldn't it be considered a type of emotional abuse?
I think you could put it in that category because it does erode trust between people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the consequences of this is that you don't trust that person and you don't like that person. A lot of times you're trying to avoid that person. So if you really think that you have to have a relationship with that person, then I do think it's worth the conversation and telling them that here's what you've observed and this is the effect it's having, and are they interested in having a conversation about that?
What about the anger the person brings to the conversation?
You know, I don't think they're really angry. We said they are angry underneath that, but I really do think we also mentioned the root of this, and the root is that they're fearful of maybe being controlled by other people. Maybe they're fearful that they're going to be forced to communicate or forced to share something in a way that's really uncomfortable for them. So they've learned, as a result of their own fear, they've learned to just frustrate other people and obstruct their way in order to not have to maybe deal with that uncomfortableness of the directness that we need when we're dealing with problems. But the anger does come out, and that's the aggressive part of this. So the work is helping the person be direct with their anger, not covert, not dealing with the anger in an indirect way.
We touched on this earlier in the show, and it seems like there's a fear of confronting conflict.
So I think that's the key. If you are uncomfortable, if you are fearful of how to do it, and you're doing this in such a covert way, you've got to help people see that there's a good way. And I think the Bible can be really helpful with that. If you could even pull out that scripture, although I don't recommend using the 1611 version of the Bible, because we have to understand what we're reading. You could pull out those scriptures and say, here's what God says we're supposed to do with our conflict and our problems with each other. And maybe you could try that, not in a rebuking way, but maybe in a coaching way with somebody.
And this is where you talk about this in your book, We Need to Talk. It can really help.
And one of the issues in dealing with difficult people is sometimes they just keep their guard up and they don't want to hear from you. They don't want to make a change at that time. They're really afraid of the relationship and they're not trusting God. But, you know, we got to remind people that God can change and transform a person if we pray for that person. Maybe something will happen in their life where they'll feel a need to make a change. I would never give up on somebody, I guess, with this, even if you're frustrated that you've tried to talk to them and you've gone to them and you don't see any changes happening and they're avoiding conflict with you. If you have somebody in your life like that and you can keep a safe distance and be somewhat superficial with them, maybe that's the best you can do at this time.
When you pray for someone to say, you know, Lord, change them, help them do this, help them do that, it sounds a little self-righteous, is it?
Yeah, I don't think I would pray that way. I would pray for their eyes to be open and for the ability to deal with people directly according to God's word. Jesus kind of spoke to this, and he says we should be honest in our speech to not deceive people through our words. So if you're being passive and aggressive, you're not being honest in your speech. So we always are supposed to focus on the truth and to express our negative emotions directly so that we can work through conflicts. So consider that the passive-aggressive behavior a person is engaging in, that person usually has low self-esteem, feels insecure, maybe feels powerless a lot of the time, and they use this behavior as a coping mechanism. And like all of us, we have behaviors that need transformation and need changing, and we never give up on people because we know that God can change anybody's heart. So continue to pray for people. Be wise. Set some boundaries. Try to deal with a conflict directly. Maybe point it out that this is a trust problem in the relationship. And pray for the person and pray for your own responses to be kind and godly as well. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer, Norm Mintel, our social media directors, Zach and Allison Bolton, our engineer and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes the show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.